Connecticut, welcome back to the Jolt Second Cup Podcast, Episode 3. Andrew, is 3 a milestone number? Or is that enough to celebrate, kind of pat ourselves on the back? Or
close enough.
I mean, we have to wait to 5, 10? So like, what is it?
Got to be doing something right if we're still doing it. So.
3, all right.
3 works.
Yeah, I feel like it deserves a pat
it's
on
a
the
challenge.
Back, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, right, right. It's always like Second Cup 3. Yeah, I feel like we're on our way, right? I feel good about what we're doing. Had some interesting guests on. You know, while the show is certainly still in its infancy, it's really become something I enjoy. I look forward to it. I get excited when it pops up my calendar, you know, podcast day. You know, and it's really the people that we get to talk to that makes it so much fun. I mean, almost as fun as Andrew, you know, stressing about the Jets quarterback situation and,
I know.
And the big name QBs they won't be getting this year. But yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. And speaking of quarterbacks, we have one here of one of the great organizations in our city. See what I did there?
Yeah, that's a good segue right there.
So we have Mary Etter, Executive Director from BARC. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're so happy you're here. So BARC, B-A-R-C, what's that? That's an acronym for something, right?
Yep, and that stands for Bristol Adult Resource Center. Okay. We used to be Bristol Association for Retarded Citizens. But back in the late 90s, early 2000s, people with developmental disabilities did not like the term retardation. So we changed our name and we wanted to keep our initials because we make these great dog biscuits called Bark Bites.
Is that right?
So we wanted to keep those initials.
That's cool. So, I mean, you mentioned you changed the name a little, you know, keep the initials, change a little further back, but Bark goes back quite a few years.
Yes, Bark started back in 1957. When families with children with developmental disabilities wanted better for their children than institutionalization. They were being advised by doctors to just drop their kids off at institutions and forget about them, and they didn't want to do that. So they created this agency to provide community-based supports for their children, and I take that responsibility very seriously.
Yeah, that sounds like a big responsibility, sure, and I'm glad you take it serious, but I mean, what is that for you personally? I mean, what is that it's got to be some pressure. Like, what is that like?
I think a lot about those families. I think about how difficult it must have been to go against what a doctor was telling them to do. I think we all have a lot of respect for doctors, and when they tell us to do something, we think we should do it, but these families really felt strongly that they wanted their kids to grow up in their communities. And this was happening all across the country, all at about the same time. So I'm really excited that we were part of that group, that 65 years ago, these families felt that strongly and wanted their kids to stay here in Bristol.
Awesome. So, I mean, how long have you been involved with Barker in this?
So it's kind of scary when I start doing the math. I've been working in nonprofits for this year. It'll be 34 years. And I started back at another agency similar to BARC back when I first got out of college. And when you were looking for a job in the 1980s, you didn't have the internet to help you. You were looking at the newspaper to find what kind of job openings were out there. And you also had no way electronically to look up anything about an agency. So I applied for a job for an agency. I didn't know what they did. I had no idea. So I applied to be their bookkeeper, and they gave me a call and they asked me to come in and take a test.
Okay.
So I said, sure, I can take a test. I just finished 4 years at UConn.
Yep.
I can come in and I can take a test. So I went there, and it was an agency that provides supports similar to BARC's. And the air conditioning was broken. This was late July, and it was so hot in this building, and they had all the doors open to try to create some airflow. So there was a day program there in that building, and there were some individuals that were loud and yelling. Some were happy yelling, some were not happy yelling, people running around. It was like something I'd never seen before. So I told myself, you're going to finish this test because you committed to take this test, and then you don't ever have to come back. And I wound up working there for 4 years. So I did
back.
Go back. And it was really, it was a great place to start out. They're now called the Arc of Eastern Connecticut.
Okay.
They cover the entire eastern side of the state. So they're a very big organization now. When I was there, they were much smaller.
Yeah. How much collaboration do you have with the other agencies in the state?
So we get together through our trade association, the Alliance, and we talk about funding issues and legislative issues and workforce issues and all sorts of things like that. And I also try to keep a close relationship with my closer colleagues so that we can have more intimate conversations and troubleshooting and bounce things off each other. And it's nice to know that we're not alone when we're out there doing the stuff we're doing.
Sure. Is this, how are they, like, how is this organization funded, I guess? I mean, I've always kind of wondered that. It's probably a combination of things, right? But is it community donations? Is it, from outside organizations funded? Is it a state-funded thing?
So the majority of our funding comes from the Department of Developmental Services, and they provide the money that we use to pay our staff. We also have some funding that comes from the Department of Social Services, and that funding is specifically for some of our homes that we have in the community. It's the way that the state funds the room and board for the individuals that live in our homes. But we do also get some funding from the United Way. We're a very proud United Way-sponsored agency. They provide supports for our recreation and respite program, which does not get any funding from the state. So that program gives our caregivers an opportunity for a break and provides recreation opportunities for individuals to get together and have a great time.
How many individuals, I guess, or does everyone that you work with live at a BARC home, right? Are there several homes or how's?
So we have 12 homes in the community and they support 41 individuals with developmental disabilities, but we provide day program supports for 140 individuals. And those folks could live in Bristol. They could be from outside of Bristol. They could live in other agencies' group homes, but about 50% of them live at home with their families.
So Andrew, I don't know if you've ever driven down Jerome Ave, right? And there's this, it's a gray building, right? Is it white? It's gray?
It's grayish blue.
It's grayish blue. There's this grayish blue building there. And hidden in there is a little cafe, right? So what's the deal with that?
So our restaurant is called The Hidden Cafe, and I call it the best kept secret in Bristol.
That's the name?
Yep. Right. We've been open for just over 40 years back there serving meals, and it's a great training program for individuals to learn how to be a waiter or a waitress, to learn tasks in the kitchen, to work with the public, to seat people, to wash dishes, to do all sorts of things in the restaurant. And it's a great experience. I invite everybody to come. We're open 11:30 to 2 Monday through Friday, and it's the best lunch you'll ever have.
So what would you recommend? What's the hot item?
Well, my favorite thing, which I have to eat not as often as I would like, is the bacon-wrapped cheese-stuffed hot dog, which is number 9 on the menu. I try to limit myself to one a month because they're really, good.
I love hot dogs.
Really good.
We were talking about hot dogs earlier. I mean, you said, 40 years it's been going on?
Yep. The restaurant's been there for over 40 years.
That's great. Do you think, and I know you weren't necessarily a part of this, but 40 years ago, they're like, this is still going to be going strong, this Hidden Cafe. I mean, it's...
I really am excited that we've been around that long, and I can see us being around long into the future, providing supports for people. I think Bristol is a very supportive community, and I think that the schooling that people receive, they're coming out of school, regardless of their disability, wanting to work. And we're set up to provide those opportunities for them. Eventually, to train them, we can train them in our work programs, but eventually we'd like them out working in the community where we can continue to provide supports. We have a gentleman who's working over at Bristol Hospital. He's been there for over 30 years with supports that we provide to him.
That's amazing. Is that the norm? I mean, you said that's the goal, right? You want them out in the community. Mm-hmm. Do most of the people kind of progress into that?
So I think as the younger folks are coming out of school, the more likely to want to be out in the community. Some of our families feel very strongly that they would like their child to stay working at BARC, and it's a safety concern. And I could never tell a parent not to have the safety of their child the concern, but we also don't want to hold them back from opportunities from being out in the community to work. So our goal is to do that as safely as possible.
Do you have a lot of partners within Bristol as far as, you know, helping those people that may want to work outside of ARC, if they want to work at such a restaurant or a different place? You have different partners of different businesses that would be like, hey, yeah, send some people our way, things like that.
We're trying to get more information about that program out into the community, because I think people don't fully understand the level of support we can provide. So we can provide as much or as little support as the individual needs. The gentleman who's working at Bristol Hospital, we just check in on him periodically, and he's doing great. He also has some great community natural supports in his department that help support him in doing his job. But we can provide as little or as much support as the person needs out there in the community.
That's pretty amazing. So we mentioned the Hidden Cafe, but there's other things you guys are offering too, right? I've seen a little trailer pass by me a couple of times. You're doing like landscaping and yard work and all sorts of stuff.
We have a yard service program that's out there mowing lawns and keeping Bristol looking good. We also have an art program over at Jerome. We have a greenhouse over at Jerome. We also have some day activity programs where individuals get to come and have some social experiences, but also get out into the community with support during the day. So that's the 140 people that we provide supports for.
That's so cool. These individuals, like you said, like, they want to work, they want to do that, they want to be a part of the community, and to have you guys there to facilitate that, I guess, is pretty amazing. That's got to, I know you probably don't do it to make yourself feel good, but it has to feel good to know that you're making a difference.
It really does. We're looking for more employees, and I would love for more people to get to experience that great feeling that I feel every single day when I walk into the office, people are happy there. It's such a happy place to be. Both of our day programs are very welcoming and very supportive and very bright and cheerful. They're great places to be. And our homes, you probably drive by several of our homes and you don't even realize that they're group homes. Sure. So they look just like any house that you or I would want to live in.
So, I mean, you mentioned getting people to work, become a part of your staff, right? And it seems like to me that, you know, we all want to feel good about what we do. And this is certainly a place where employment does that, right? Like, you feel good about what you do. You feel good about helping people. But yet you have a number of positions open, right? I mean, what do you see as the obstacle, as the barrier of getting people to fill these positions?
I think part of it is the pay. Our funding, as I mentioned, comes from the Department of Developmental Services. And we're able to provide a minimum pay of $17.25 an hour. That's not much money in Connecticut. I think that there's a lot of competition at about that same pay rate. And it's probably, I can promise you, the other jobs at those pay rates are not as rewarding as BARC, but I'm sure they're probably a lot less stressful than some of the work that we have. But I think that what we've been able to prove is that there's opportunity for advancement as well. There's a lot of people at BARC that have been there for 10, 15, 20 years, and they've risen up in our organizational structure. And I think if people wanted to have a career in human services, they could do that at BARC.
Yeah. So what's kind of cool, right, is I think, like we mentioned, like, you've touched a lot of these lives, and that feels good. But you can sort of flip that around, right? And these individuals has also made an impact on you positively. I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there like a story or something that comes to mind right away when you're like?
There's a lot of stories that the individuals that we support, we're there doing a job. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we all get paid to do the work that we do, but there's so much more that comes back. There's knowing that you're helping people live their best lives, there just really isn't anything better. And we care for adults from 21, 22, right out of school, all the way until they're gone. So there's just a lot of great stories of watching people interact and watching people work, but then transition to retirement and then transition all sorts of different things. And it really is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. So back on, as far as, you know, because you're looking for, you know, positions and work people to help, what are some of the positions that you're looking for, or what are some of the qualifications that people need to kind of be aware of, you know, when wanting to apply?
So our homes are open 24/7. So what that means is that we need coverage 24/7. And what that does, though, is that gives a lot of flexibility for people to work. They can work 16 hours for us and go to school, or they could work another job and have a side job that gets them some extra money. So we really have just about any shift you could possibly imagine, we're able to accommodate that for someone, and we can be flexible. So, for example, if you are going to school and your schedule that you have right now works, but next semester it's not going to work because of your classes that you'll be taking, we can help you find another position within the organization that will help work. So we have our day programs that are mostly 9 to 3, Monday through Friday. Although the folks that support people who are working out in the community have different hours than that. But then our group homes have second shift, third shift, weekends, mornings, all sorts of different positions are available. And for training, we provide all the training you could possibly want or need. And we have some training that is required by us that's not necessarily required by the state, but we try to increase the training opportunities for our staff. For example, all of our staff receive training on Alzheimer's and dementia, and that is not a requirement of the state, but we feel very strongly that it's important that all of our staff are trained in recognizing early symptoms so that treatment can be obtained as quickly as possible.
How about volunteers? Do you have any volunteer help?
We do have volunteers that come. We have folks at the Hidden Cafe that run the register for us Monday through Friday. And we have other volunteers that come into other programs. We have some music therapists that have volunteered. We'd love to get some more of those because our individuals really enjoy that. But we can also accommodate anybody's volunteer wishes. We can find something that, if they're interested in volunteering, we can find something for them.
Something for everybody.
Yep.
Nice. So, all right, step out of your office for a second. You know, you have a couple minutes to get away, do something. You said your husband's out skiing right now, which is going to make Andrew happy. But for you, like, what's outside of work? Like, what's Marietta like to do? What brings you joy?
So I enjoy running.
Okay.
I actually ran the virtual Boston Marathon in 2021, and I chose to do that by running to all of our group homes and by our day programs and our business office over on Maltby Street. And I was accompanied by local community people. I met up with the mayor and some of the city council at the farmers market. Our board treasurer ran with me. One of the individuals that we provide support to, he and his dad had run the Hartford Half in the morning, and then they ran a couple miles with me in my marathon in the afternoon. I had more board members join me, and then my son and his now fiance joined me at the very end of the race. So I ran an actual marathon. I raised money for BARC, which felt really good, and I was raising awareness at the same time, as well as proving to myself that I could actually run a marathon. So I'm not running marathons right now.
You got some in the future?
I don't know. I have some of our individuals at BARC who keeps asking me, when are you going to run another marathon? I'm like, oh, I just don't know if I've got one in me. But I also enjoy to sing. And okay. I sing mostly for church. I'm in the St. Luke's Passion Play coming up right before Easter, and we have performances just about every night right before Easter. So I really enjoy that. It's different than running, but it brings that same feeling of accomplishment that running does. So
have you always been able to just like perform in front of people? Is that a natural thing or something you learned or what?
You know what? I generally just do it for church. Like it's not, I've never been in a play outside of this. I've never done anything like that, but maybe someday in my future I will be.
Nice.
Could we see him perform at the Bushnell sometime?
Maybe right after my next marathon.
Yeah. Well, you can run the Hartford Marathon and just run to the Bushnell. Yeah. Just do a little slinger, right?
Keep going. That's great. So, I mean, you said you like to run, but did you have to train leading up to this?
It wasn't even just the training. I mean, training was certainly intensive, but I had to plan the whole route. And when you run a traditional marathon, there's eight stations along the way. There's no aid stations when you're making your own route. Mm-hmm. So my husband actually drove to all the stops ahead of me and was waiting there with my fuel that I needed, my liquids and all of that. So I had some help along the way.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I also took pictures with our residents that were home. I had a little bit of bad timing in the morning because it was Special Olympics bowling.
Okay.
So some of our guys weren't home, but I was happy that they were out bowling instead. But I still took pictures at their houses.
So it's funny you mentioned the Special Olympics. I mean, are your individuals you work with, like, do they take part in any of the games?
They absolutely do, and they love it.
Yeah.
And I actually participated back when I was at the Arc of New London County at the time. I was I did some unified bowling, and a couple years ago I decided I wanted to do unified sports again, and I wound up doing cycling with West Hartford, and because Bristol doesn't have unified cycling. And if you're not familiar with unified sports, it's there's non-disabled people competing alongside with people with disabilities. So I had a partner in my cycling, and we had to finish together.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of us finished first, so then we won. But I had to work really hard to keep up with him because I wasn't going to lose us the medal. So we won two gold medals.
Pressure was on.
Without a doubt. And I wasn't going to let him down. So, it's nice for me to be able to talk with our individuals about competing because I've done it and with them. So it's fun.
Unified Sports is a great program. I know my son's participated in a few years. He loves it, through school and stuff like that. And, before COVID, they went down to West Haven and they did had schools from all over the state come and do a whole big event, hand out medals, and just the looks on their face and just how much fun they have and the interaction with them each other, it's just it's really, really cool to see.
It's amazing. Yeah, so we were just at the state cheerleading competition this past weekend to watch my daughter cheerlead, and they would have unified teams throughout the thing, and it was just amazing. You can't help but and I don't know these people, right? But just see how happy they are, and the people working with them, and just
it's
the
pure
people's
joy.
Crying.
It's absolute pure joy.
It gives them feels.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And what you don't see with all of those events is you don't see the weeks and weeks and weeks of practice to get to that. And that was what I was happy to experience with the cycling, because it gives you a whole new appreciation for what it takes to get to that level of the competition.
Yeah.
And it's fun. So it's hard work, but it's fun at the same time.
And it's fun. So it's funny you mentioned the Boston Marathon during COVID virtually. I have to imagine, luckily, hopefully, we're on the other side of COVID, right? I don't know if it's completely in the past, but we're better now than we were a couple of years ago, right?
Agreed.
But that, it was hard on everybody, right? I think it would have to be hard on you, your staff, right? But also these individuals, right? Because that took them out of their routine. It had to be a difficult time.
COVID, at the very beginning of COVID, was absolutely terrible and frightening because no one really knew what was happening. We had to close our day programs. And at first, we were told you'll close for 2 weeks. Sorry, I'm getting emotional about it. We were closed for 4 months. And what that meant is we weren't able to provide the supports that we were providing for families. Individuals who were living in our homes were basically stuck in their homes with no visitation from anyone but staff. So families couldn't see their individuals. And for 4 months, we worked off-site trying to keep morale up, trying to keep of individuals that we provide supports to, of our staff, trying to keep people engaged whose work had just gone away, but also trying to staff these homes in a way that was safe for the staff and for the individuals. It was quite awful. We did a few things. I tried to do Facebook videos to try to get a message out, to be talking to people. We did a couple drive-bys where we drove by the houses and honked horns and had signs and things like that. We just were struggling to try to do anything to try to keep people engaged and not frightened.
Yeah.
When we ourselves were terrified.
Right. I mean, that had to be so hard to work through, but you've come through it, right? And now hopefully things are back on the upswing. Everything's going, seems like everything's going well.
Yep. Our activities are virtually back to normal. We're still currently wearing masks, although I think we're almost to the point where we won't be wearing masks. It's kind of hard to argue with the masks when it's helping prevent flu. So it's not even just COVID, but it's flu, it's RSV, it's other things like that that our people aren't catching because we're wearing masks.
Right, I mean, especially in a group home, shared home, it's one person, but that's quickly all 12 or however many are there.
So. Yeah, we don't have any more than six in our homes, but still, when you have six individuals, you have two or three staff every single shift, and once one or two people get it, it's very difficult to keep contained. So, I'm super glad that we're 3 years past the beginning part of COVID.
And if you had told me
it would be 3 years, I probably would have really lost my mind.
Yeah, again. I mean, you said it yourself. Oh, we'll just be closed 2 weeks, and that's how it was. Like, a couple weeks, it'll be no problem. And yeah, I mean,
flatten the curve, right? Yeah. Isn't that what they told us? Flatten the curve, and
And obviously, all the the variants and things.
Well, that's the thing. Every time we thought we were okay, something is.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, like that first winter right after, like the winter 21, and that flu season, no one got the flu.
Nope.
Like you said, it was that one benefit, as far as keeping that a concern. So kind of looking ahead, what are some of the goals for BARC? What are some of your hopes or your desires? What do you have on tap, for the future? What are some of the goals you have?
So we have our annual gala coming up in April. We're really excited about that. That's April 28th at the Doubletree. And we are going to have dancing with a DJ. We're going to have a video presentation of some of the things that are going on at BARC. It's actually going to be a montage of photos set to music, which I'm really excited about. We're going to work on that next week. And there's going to be a silent auction and a wine pull. And again, we're going to have dancing, which is always a big deal for BARC. Just about every event, we have some dancing going on. So that's April 28th. We're looking for sponsorships, but mostly we're looking for people to come and celebrate with us. And then I'm also working on, we just put in a grant application with the Community Investment Fund. We're hoping for some funding from the state to help supplement the ARPA grant that we received from the city of Bristol. We received $1.5 million from the city to go towards building a new building over on our Lake Avenue property. And that building will house our administrative offices, but even more importantly, it's going to have some additional program space that will be able to have, that will be smaller space, which will be much better suited for individuals with autism. We have large program rooms over at Lake Avenue, and sometimes the noise can get very intimidating to folks with autism. So we're going to have those smaller program spaces. And we're also going to have a gym so that we'll be able to have some physical activities as well as even more dancing. So
training to dancing, more dancing.
That's right. I'll get some more company out there.
There you go.
And possibly even we're thinking about some performing arts type things that we could do. If we have that big space, we could bring in a stage and have some performing arts type things. So
So are you going to sing at this gala? That's the question.
Oh, I'm not singing at the gala. Nope. But maybe we'll have karaoke in the new gym. All right. That would be fun.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun. So how do people get tickets? How do they find out more?
So you can visit www.bristolarc.org, and you can get your tickets there, or you can give me a call over at Jerome. I'm happy to get people some tickets.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about, well, actually most about, like, the good things that happen and how, like, this job makes you feel good and helping these individuals as it should. But I'm sure there's some tough days too, right? Like, how do you go home, I guess, like you personally, like go home and sort of process that and deal with it and not let it consume your life, I guess?
It's tough for me. I take a lot of pride in the work that I do and a lot of personal enjoyment in the work that I do. And it is hard when things don't always go as you've planned or as you'd hoped they would. I try to always learn something from whatever it is that has happened and to reach out to people that can help me process that, but can also help me prevent the kind of things from happening again in the future. And then I'll go running.
Just 26 miles.
A lot of stress is a 30-mile run this time.
You know what helps me sometimes is eating a piece of pizza.
That's after the run.
Yeah, that after the run. So that kind of reminds me. So I don't know if you saw that Michelob commercial. It was like a Michelob Light commercial, Ultra or whatever, where shows the woman like, you clearly she did a lot of running, and he's going to come, oh, here, you want a beer? It's like, why would you want to have a beer after you just run a bunch of miles? I don't know about you, but anytime I do a lot of exercise, I that's the last thing I probably want.
No, there's nothing better than a post-race beer.
That's what I've I have been proven wrong.
I used to work at an organization where we, as fundraisers, put on a lot of like road races and things like that. And our biggest selling ones were the ones that ended, like, we did a trail run at a brewery, things like that. Mm-hmm. People,
but then again, my wife did a yoga at a brewery once.
Yeah,
yep. So I've done that.
A bunch of yoga and then just a little flight and call it a day.
It's
I guess I'm missing something. All right, so his segue. So we're going to hard hitting questions now. We got the 6 questions that we're going to do a little rapid fire.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Need to stretch here.
All right, stretch it out. Here we go. All right, so in the subject of pizza, when you eat the pizza, are you a person that likes to fold the slice or you just go straight on to keep it, or you go crust first?
Fold the slice.
Yeah. All right.
Me too.
Because it's always thin crust.
Me too.
So you have to fold a slice.
You definitely, if it's thin, yep. You have to. I agree 100%. Someone was asking me the other day, like, you fold your pizza? I'm like, yeah. Like, if it's the triangle pizza,
otherwise it slides off the end.
Yeah.
Like, you don't?
Yeah, don't keep look the toppings on, too. Nothing worse than you play a pizza right? And just, like, all the times you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know. Awesome. All right. So, put your thinking cap on. If you were to win the Powerball, what would you do?
We'd be starting our building project tomorrow.
Oh.
Probably multiple buildings.
Right? I'd be funding other people's buildings, too.
Yeah, hell of a gymnasium. Yeah.
Right?
Very cool. All right, so next. In Candy World, do you pronounce it caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel.
I don't know. I didn't even have to think about that.
I always say one or the other. I'm like, is that how I always say it? Or do I? Like,
I just came out of my mouth so fast.
Caramel. I think I say caramel too. More times than not.
I see the extra A, so I go caramel. I don't know.
Yeah. When you look at it, if you're looking at the word, I think you'd pronounce it caramel, but. Tricky.
To be sure. I guess it's a potato, potato, tomato, tomato kind of thing. Yeah. All right. So what is. Favorite place? What is one of the favorite places you've ever been to?
The Hidden Cafe. Jerome.
Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 2. I have to say, I think one of my favorite places is Lake Winnipesaukee. And we go every summer with my husband's family. So a bunch of his brothers and their kids and their kids. And it's just a
Is that New
just
Hampshire?
Just huge. Yep. Okay. Yep. It's...
with Mr. Geography.
I thought that was Vermont. I knew it was somewhere.
It's a wonderful place, and we get to go every summer, so that's definitely one of my favorite places.
Did you do camping up there? Or, yeah.
No, we stay at a resort, okay. And we go the same week every single year, so there's another family that has the other half, basically, so we get to see some of the same people. It's nice. Our family and this other family, and it's kind of nice.
Tradition.
Yeah, my son got engaged there this past summer.
Look at that. That's
now. So is the wedding going to be there too?
Nope. The wedding's going to be in October. Married in Bristol, and then the reception will be at the TPC.
Ooh.
Excited! Wow. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
I got married on a golf course too. It's no longer there, but it was cool. We had a picture. Our photographer took us out, so he gave me the golf club, and my wife would like gave it like the sass look, like, why are you playing golf?
I think there is going to be a putting green. Yeah. I think there is going to be one.
There you go. Yeah, that's awesome. So, is there something on your bucket list that maybe you haven't done, if wanted to do, or want to try that you haven't done?
I'd like to go to Ireland. So that's a place I'd like to go for. I have considered trying for a triathlon, but I'm thinking I'm not going to do that. So I think I'm going to go to Ireland.
Nice. You could
do a marathon in Ireland.
I could. Yeah. Mm. There's beer there, too.
The cliffs, right?
There's beer there, yeah. I would recommend it. It was awesome.
My daughter and I went to Greece in May, and we had an amazing time. But Ireland, my mother's family was from there, and I think I'd love to go back and see where they were from.
That's awesome. All right, so this is the poll question of the episode. I think last time we did the girl's favorite Girl Scout cookie. What's your go-to Girl Scout cookie? So why don't we ask you that before we move on?
She's going to swing it one way or the other, because I think it was 50-50. Well, not 50-50, but there was a tie for...
Well, and it's funny because I have two, and I literally just ordered them this morning. Oh, so that's funny. The trefoils and the Thin Mints.
Thin Mints, lock it up.
Oh.
Thin Mints win.
Thin Mints.
Yep.
Tagalongs is the right answer. Tagalongs.
All right, so this poll question, very simple. Now, as you said, the hot dog, and I've heard multiple times, the hot dogs are the go-to item at the Hidden Cafe. So now the ultimate question is the hot dog considered a sandwich?
No. No.
It's a ridiculous question. No.
Nope.
It's not a ridiculous question. It's a legit question.
No.
It's the piece of meat in between two buns. So, right? Two pieces of bread, right?
So when I go into Subway, why can I order a hot dog?
Well, do you want a hot dog from Subway, though?
I don't know.
Just saying. But it's, you know.
So you consider it a sandwich? Or do you not?
I don't know. I'm in the middle. I can see either way. But... sure, why not? Because then you can put any toppings on it, too. You can go relish, you can a hot dog, you can put anything in it.
I think it's the bun. The bun that holds me back from thinking it's a sandwich. The shape of the bun. Because then I'm starting to think, is a hamburger a sandwich?
Yeah, that's what Johnny said, too. I don't know.
But,
see, but now it's starting to think. Now it's in
your head. I have it on bread, it is.
If you have it on white
bread. But if I have it on a bun?
It also doesn't make sense, right? Because a chicken sandwich is basically the same as a burger, just with chicken, but same buns, but it's a sandwich.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to be up all night.
Those are the kind of questions you'll get here to make you think.
Oh, man. Well, those were difficult questions.
Yeah. Well, so now you got to
see how that poll comes back.
Like, you know, what about one of those euros, right? I mean, it's... Was that a considered a sandwich, right? I mean, it's like a pita wrap kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's more than six questions. Calm down.
Your poll is expanding.
Hey, well, you know, this is what happens when you get on.
Good, you keep going. I hear you. So that's a good one to get you thinking. All right, Mary, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day. We know you're busy, and thank you for all you do. Happy that you're a chamber member, but... obviously, with Bark in the community and helping these individuals and them really helping everyone else. So go to the Hidden Cafe if you haven't. I'm going to stop by sometime soon. And please, March 28th.
April 28th.
Yeah, April 28th, your event. March 28th, we have your Everything event. Expo That's coming up.
Which we will be at.
Yes, yep. So come check us out. The Doubletree, what else we got coming up? An OSHA event, whatever. You can check it out online. We got a bunch of stuff, something for everyone. CentralCTChambers.org. Mary, what's the website for BARC?
www.bristolarc.org.
Yeah, so give them a look too. Please subscribe to the show if you don't already. And we'll see you next time.
Catch you on the flip side.
Thank you.